Coming up next then, the Educational Psychology Association of South Africa wants Health Minister Aaron Motsoaledi to urgently intervene in the funding crisis currently engulfing the field of educational psychology. A PASA wrote to Motsoaledi this month to say it has become disillusioned with the attitude of both the Council for Medical Schemes and the Health Professions Council of South Africa, a professional board for psychology, towards funding and scope of practice issues which have placed our profession in crisis. That is quoted according to them. News 24 reported in 2016 that as many as 7 public and private medical aid schemes have refused to pay for services of educational psychology since April 2016. Now, the problem arose after the Health Profession Council of South Africa classified the industry scope of practice in 2011, differentiating between clinical psychologists, educational psychologists, and counseling, etc. As a result, the 7 medical aid schemes have realized that they are no longer technically legally bound to cover the cost of educational psychologists. And so this morning, we say a very good morning to Vanessa Gaydon, who is educational psychology and non-executive member of the Educational Psychology Association. A very good morning to you, Vanessa.
Good morning.
Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. But just, if possible, can you give us an overview, a picture of what exactly is the issue that we're dealing with here?
Sure. It's quite a complicated issue, but just to sort of simplify it, basically there's the profession of psychology. We're all psychologists. We've qualified as psychologists. There's a scope of profession. The scope of practice basically defines what each category can and can't do. So we each have a scope of practice: clinical, educational, industrial, and counseling psychologists. The problem is that the scope of practice has been basically misinterpreted. So some of the wording in the scope of practice for educational psychologists, basically it says that we deal with learning and development during the through the lifespan. But learning and development is sort of being interpreted very narrowly as it's basically making us look like educationists as opposed to psychologists. And I don't think I've explained that very, very well. The scope of practice is quite it's a difficult thing to understand. But basically, the medical aides are using that to not pay us as psychologists.
So just to understand it, in my understanding, what the new law is saying is that, you know what, according to them, how they interpret it is that educational psychologists are just educators. In fact, there shouldn't even be a title of psychologist after that. They're just educators.
Yes, it's actually not a new law. It's just being misinterpreted. And actually, the minister was taken to court last year, and he acknowledged that the scope of practice is actually not legal. It wasn't promulgated properly, and so they have to go back and re-promulgate it. But in the meantime, the medical aides have got caught on to the fact that that they don't have to pass, or they think they don't have to pass. And the council, another part of the problem is that the Council for Medical Schemes is actually basically writing letters telling the medical aides that they don't have to pass. Meanwhile, we're all psychologists. We all do the same psychological acts. We're all qualified to diagnose, to treat. Part of it, I think, is that the medical aides are running out of money, so they're choosing not to pay us.
And talking about the repercussions then of this, what has the impact been on the industry, and more specifically, I suppose, to school children then?
Well, that's the huge thing. I mean, there are psychologists who in the past were sort of servicing like government officials and people like that who are on GEMS. And so the majority of their practice was people who cannot afford the treatment by psychologists without their medical aid. So it's medical aid like GEMS, which, you know, it's for government employees who've stopped paying us. And what happens is that psychologist practices I've heard of some people who 70% of their practice has disappeared. But more importantly, people are having to turn away children who they've been working with, they've been treating, because in the middle of nowhere, the medical aid stopped paying them because they never notified their patients and they never notified psychologists. So, you know, some psychologists would be halfway through treatment with a family or with a child, or and they'd have to stop the treatment because the family couldn't afford it, and the psychologist can't just keep treating them without any reimbursement for that. So that's happened a lot. I mean, I know of several practices where people are actually considering closing their practice, but more importantly, the public is not being serviced. But the public is actually not getting the service. There aren't enough psychologists in South Africa as it is. And now, you know, people who desperately need services are not being able to access mental health treatment.
And just talking to that, then, you know, people are suffering, let's put it like that, and we need to find a solution to this. Surely now that you've written to the health minister, there's an understanding. Has there been any response or perhaps any other resolutions that you are all working on?
We have been fighting this now for 2 years. RELPAG have been fighting it for even longer than that. And the reality is that we've not heard a word from the minister. We've had several meetings with the Health Profession Council, who promised a set of guidelines. They published a set of guidelines without letting us know. And the guidelines are absolutely shocking. No educational psychologists agree with the guidelines. They didn't consult with us. We've approached the CMS. They just ignore our letters. We've now been recommended to approach the Competition Tribunal. So we've done that as well. It's a slow process, but the hard thing is that they totally and utterly ignore us. We've spoken to Professor Pillay, who's the chairman. He has promised all sorts of things. He's acknowledged, the chairman of the Professional Board for Psychology, he's acknowledged that there's a problem, and he basically does nothing about it. The Council for Medical Schemes met with us once in about February last year. They've not come back to us. They've ignored our letters. So these are bodies of the state that are doing absolutely nothing about something that they're responsible for doing something about. We've approached the medical aides. The medical aides basically say to us, the Council for Medical Scheme and the Health Profession Council have told them that they don't have to. In fact, they've gone further and they've said that you know, we are working out a scope of practice. If we do any form of, you know, for example, if we treat anxiety. To be honest with you, there are many of us who are trained only to work that way. We're not trained as educationists. So it's a very frustrating process, and we just keep going. Fortunately, you know, our chairperson's letter to the minister seems to have got out there and it's been written about, and you're interviewing me about it. And hopefully the minister will respond and do something about it, and direct the Health Professions Council to do something about it, and direct the Council for Medical Schemes to do something about it. Because the Council for Medical Schemes should be addressing this with medical aides, but they're not. They're almost saying to the medical aides, you're fine, you can do what you're doing at the moment.
Vanessa.
Luckily, there's the odd medical aid that does continue to pass.
Which one?
Of the big ones.
Are there some names that you can mention?
Well, it's like Discovery. The Discovery continues. It will not discriminate between educational psychologists. I think Momentum Health has become a bit of a problem. But, you know, there are a few. And fortunately, you know, those are quite big ones. The difficulty is that doesn't service community, because it's one of the expensive medical aids. The medical aids for the government employees doesn't cover us. And further than that, those people who aren't on medical aids, what happens to them? Because the government is not providing the mental health services. We're not employed in the government sector. We have to work in the private sector. So it's a big problem when you consider where mental health is in South Africa at the moment.
I hear you loud and clear. Listen, Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. We're hoping that by putting out things like this on air, in that someone out there is listening and they can certainly do something about it. But thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much.